Hello and welcome everyone. This is November 6, 2019 and you're at the Whole Life Healing program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan and I'll be hosting the call today. Before we hear from Alex, I wanted to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we always share this quote on the program as well. We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but could never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel. That was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007, and the reason we bring it up is that the purpose of these calls is to provide current and relevant information on the subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, a scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. So having shared that, today we're going to play an archive call from Alex because he's still in Europe. So, and the title of this one is, it's not so much what you do as it is blank. So here's Alex.
I thank all of you for being here. Man, that is such an honor for me for you to come to these programs. And please, if you enjoy what we do here and what we talk about, go back and listen to some of the archives that are available for free for a couple of years back or so. You may find one that is very specific to your situation in life that we did a year ago or a year and a half ago. You can sort of tell by the titles sometimes. But anyway, I would encourage you to do that if these are benefiting you. Okay, the spiritual law of nature today is one that is in mystery, and it's exciting to me. It's something I'm passionate about. I've seen it over and over and over in my life, and it's kind of amazing to me every time I think about this and how I've experienced these truths we're about to talk about in my own life, in Hope's life, in Harry and George's life, with my clients, all of the above. So let me finish the title. Ken gave you part of the title because that's all I gave him. But here's the whole title of this one. It's not so much what you do as how you feel about what you do. Okay? It's not so much what you do, but how you feel about what you do. So that's the prayer and meditation thing I would give you for this week. As you go walk or pray or sit under your tree, I sit under a tree a lot and walk around the tree and that sort of thing in a real pretty area around our house. But I would really pray and meditate about that this week, and I think the holiday time is the perfect time to reevaluate this issue. It's not so much what you do as how you feel about what you do. Okay? And I'm going to reference ancient manuscripts today, and I think everyone I'm going to reference was from the Apostle Paul. Okay? And one that I've referenced a lot because it's one of the most important statements in the world related to health, happiness, success, failure, unhappiness, great relationships, or poor ones, is what Paul wrote when he said that when you do stuff, everything is about why you're doing it and where you're coming from when you do it, to the point that he says if you do a good thing, even if you do an incredibly good thing, even if you do such a good thing that you give your life for another person, but if you don't do it out of love, you might as well not even do it, because it will not benefit you one bit if you do it for any reason other than love. So you might as well not even do it, okay? And that's the first one we've talked about a lot. But I really would like you to pray and meditate this week. Why do you do what you do? Are the things that you do a have to or a want to? Okay? If you've read my book, the last one, you know that I tell a story in there about, and I've talked about it on this program too, about how before Hope and I were separated, my most dreaded thing in the world to do was clean a toilet. And I hated it. I would do anything in the world to get out of it. If I had to do it, I would do it kind of mumbling and grumbling under my breath and was miserable the whole time and you know, felt anger and frustration and, you know, all this stuff about having to clean the toilet. And then after Hope and I had a recommitment ceremony for our marriage and were really happy, and God had changed me from the inside out, all of a sudden, without even really being conscious of it, I was cleaning a toilet and was humming and singing at the top of my lungs while I was doing it. And it didn't even register to me, but Hope came and found me, being sure that I was goofing off and not helping her clean house, only to find me with my head stuck in the toilet bowl, singing and humming joyfully, happily, and she couldn't believe it because she knew the thing about me in toilets and was like, "You are cleaning the toilet, singing and humming and looking like you're at Disney World or something." And I said, "Was I? Okay." And I'd really even almost kind of forgotten how much I used to hate that. I'd been so transformed internally. I really almost didn't even remember it. I did, but I had to think about it for a second, okay? So how you feel about what you do, whether it's a have to or a want to, is critical as far as the outcome and as far as whether it benefits you or not. And I'm talking down to your cells being open or closed, whether you get an illness or disease or not, whether you're happy or not, whether a relationship is intimate and close or strained, how you do it, your career, everything. It's everything. The people that really excel at things, and when I mean excel, I mean the whole package. I don't mean just make a lot of money. I mean make a lot of money, and they're also happy. Okay? Those people do what they do with a passion. They do what they do from a positive place. They'll usually tell you, "I love what I do," or "I really like what I do." "I love being in relationship with this person," or "as far as my part of the relationship goes, I have no unforgiveness, no negative, only positive." Those are the people that tend to have great relationships, all right? And the same with everything else in their life. So how you feel about what you do and the place you're coming from, whether out of love and being positive, or whether it's strictly just a have to, and "I don't really want to do this, all I want to do is get to a certain end result, and I guess I have to do this to get there," okay? Now, having said that, we're always going to have times when we feel, "Okay, I really don't feel like doing this, but I've just got to get it done." Hope and I have had some times in the last few months. She had emergency rotator cuff surgery from an injury, and her arm is fine now, by the way. That was about 4 months ago. But with her being completely incapacitated for about the first month and a half or two of that, in really bad pain all the time, my boys and I had to take up the slack. We had to do a lot of things that we're not used to having to do. And I'll admit, some of those were kind of have-tos. And that's how I felt about it. It's, okay, well, I need to do this. Now, I wasn't upset about it or angry or anything, okay? In fact, I remember thinking a number of times, you know, that it was an honor to do that for Hope because I love her so much. And I told her that when she said, I'm sorry you're having to do these things. And I said, oh, baby, no, it is an honor for me to do this for you. And so that was kind of cool. But I would really encourage you to pray and meditate on that this week. And to me, this also corresponds to another thing in my last book where I talk about the three kinds of beliefs, placebo, nocebo, and de facto. And of the three kinds of beliefs that you can have, two of them are a lie. Two of those three, you're believing a lie. With placebo, you're believing something positive, but it's not true. And you get some, typically, you'll get some positive effect from that, but it usually is not permanent, and it usually is not long-term or complete, okay? Because it wasn't the truth. It was a sugar pill. It wasn't real medicine or herbs or minerals or whatever. The other one is nocebo, where you're taking the real thing, the real herb, the real mineral, the real medication, or whatever it is, that should make the pain better and has the power to make the pain better, but because you do not believe it will make your pain better, it very well may not. Dr. Ben used to lecture with me that if people believe an antibiotic will not work for them, if that's their belief, well, I'll take it because everybody's telling me to take it, but this is not going to work for me. It, according to Dr. Ben, it will usually, not every time, but it will usually not work for them if they believe it will not work for them, okay? And then de facto is the reality, the real thing, the whole truth. Whether it's what you want or not, it's the whole truth, okay? And if you believe the de facto truth and act on it, that's where the results come from that we often say, oh, wow, it was like a miracle. That was wonderful. That was a turning point, okay? That's because they believe the truth. And that kind of change can be permanent, long-term, complete, etc. Okay, I used to have a teaching that I did, and I'm sure I've done a cutting-edge teaching on it, but it was probably 8 years ago because it was one of my first ones, called the what, the why, and the who. The what is what you do or don't do. The why is why you do what you do or don't do. The who is why you really do it. And the point is, everything we do and don't do, the real reason and source and where we're coming from on that comes from your identity of yourself and who you are, who you're not, whether you're a person that should clean toilets or not, etc. Okay, another ancient manuscript, and this one, boy, in the group that I grew up in the religious group that I grew up in, that was a strict religious group, they hated this manuscript, all right? And here's what it says. If you have doubts about whether or not you should do something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything, do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? If you do at that time. The passage says, if you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Whoa, doggy. So you mean it's not just the list? It's not just, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is right, this is right, this is right. This manuscript flies in the face of all of that. And it says, if you do it, whether or not it's on the list, or whichever list it's on or not on, if you do anything believing it is wrong for you to do it at that time and in that place and in that situation, for you, it is wrong. And the indication is that if I do it in my situation for me, and I believe it's not wrong, I believe it's right, then it may very well be right for me. The exact same thing. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the main reasons that we should absolutely throw in the garbage and send off to the dump and never go get it again, judging of others and even to some degree ourselves. Okay? Because what's right for one person may not be right for another. What's wrong for one person may not be wrong for another. And especially about others, we almost never have all the facts. Okay? And very often we don't even have the facts about ourselves because we don't know all the un and subconscious stuff. That's the definition of the un and subconscious stuff, that we don't know it. Well, that we don't know part may very well be why I believe it would be wrong for me to do something when maybe everyone else in the world might say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Or I think I should do something sometimes, and I've done that. I started the Healing Codes Company out of my basement when everyone told me they thought that was not the right thing to do. But I believed it was for me at that time, even though it was a hard decision. And that decision has been blessed more than I can tell you. Okay? I've called this, in the Healing Codes, conscious conflict from the very first. And that's what is in the Healing Code book. That's what's in the Healing Code manual. That's what we check for with people. We work with that a lot with LT3, okay? But conscious conflict is when you violate your own belief system about what you should be doing or not doing. And it is probably the number one thing that will slow down your healing or get you stuck, okay? So that's what we're talking about, in Healing Codes terms, is kind of conscious conflict. But isn't that incredible that God says, if you, and I believe this is God saying this through Paul, that if you do anything you believe is not right, it isn't right for you. And if you assume the opposite of that, it means if you do things that you believe with all your heart are right, then maybe in a lot of those cases it's right for you. Now, I'm not taking that to the extent of like murdering someone or stealing something, because a mentally ill person might believe that's right for them, but they're still in violation of their conscience. And that's another thing that Paul said thousands of years ago, is that the people who have never heard the truth will be judged eventually by how they obey the law that is written on their heart, which is their conscience. So your conscience is what I call your love compass. And when it comes to things like murder and stealing and stuff like that, we all know inherently I should not do that, unless we've just done it so many times that our conscience has become seared and we can't really access it anymore. But all of us know that certain things we should not do and certain other things we probably should do, okay? So those are kind of the on-the-list things. But there's a million things not on the list, and I think that's what Paul is primarily talking to here, is when you've got something that you're trying to figure out, should I do this or should I not, it's not clear, like murder or not murder. It's what you believe in your heart is right or wrong for you. Okay. When you heal the fear inside you and start living from a place of love in the present moment, which is what we have been trying to help people do for 14 years, about 14 and a half now, at the Healing Codes, when you do that, a miraculous thing happens. It turns your have-tos into want-tos, just like me and the cleaning the toilet, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what you have to change in order to start living the way that you believe and know is right for you is you have to change the source of your feelings. Okay? That is your memories, either yours or absorbed from others or imagined or passed down from generations past, okay? And you need an energy tool to do that. Prayer can do that. Prayer is my first choice, always. Using energy tools is, I think, absolutely wonderful and very effective. And most of you on this call have seen that, have seen the effectiveness of that in changing the source of your feelings. When that fear memory heals, all of a sudden you feel less fear. When all of your fear memories are healed, you usually feel automatically, without even having to work on it, much more love, joy, and peace than you have felt before. At least that's been my experience. So when you heal the source of your feelings, it changes the why and the who. In that what, the why, the who. The what is what you do. The why is why you do it. The who is why you really do it. When you heal the source of your feelings, from fear to love, from falsehood to truth, from darkness to light, it changes the who you believe you are. It changing the who changes the why you're doing it. Now, I'm cleaning that toilet from a place of love, not a place of fear, and it changes what you do. I not only clean the toilets better than I had ever cleaned them before, but I was doing it with love, joy, peace, happiness, joyfulness, singing, humming, and hope could not believe it. Okay. So what is your thing, as I wrap this up? What is your thing? Remember where we started. It's not so much what you do, it's how you feel about what you do. All right? Well, how do you feel about what you do? How do you feel about your job? How do you feel about your boss? How do you feel about your employees? How do you feel about yourself and the actual work that you're doing in your work or career? Are you doing absolutely the best that you can? Are you giving it your all? Which is what love always does. Fear tries to cut corners and get other people to do it or not do a good job but still just get paid. Love doesn't do that. Love does its best every time. Okay? So which are you doing? In the most important relationships of your life, how do you feel about what you're doing, not doing. Are you listening to your spouse or partner? Are you listening to your children? Not just talking, not just getting your answer ready, but really listening to not only what they're saying, but what they're not saying, that are their feelings behind what they're saying. Okay? Are you really listening? Are you really taking the time to nurture those relationships that need nurturing, just like a plant needs sunshine, good soil, water, nutrients, etc.? Or are you just sort of having them on autopilot and you know they're not as intimate and meaningful and close as they should be or that you would like them to be, but boy, that sure would be a lot of hard work to try to go back and work on all that stuff again, okay? Well, that's have to, not want to. And that's coming from a place of fear and darkness and falsehood, not from a place of light and love and truth. And here's the bottom line. If you continually do things and don't do things that violates your love compass, your conscience, or that violates what you feel you should be doing or should not be doing, I'll make you three promises. You will never be as happy as you can be. You will never be as successful as you can be. And most importantly, you will never have the close, meaningful, intimate relationships that are possible for you. The only way to have those things is to do based on what you believe and feel you should do and shouldn't do. What is right for you at that time and moment. That is the only way that you will be happy, healthy, and successful to the degree that you're capable of. And ladies and gentlemen, with this teaching today, as I've worked with people in one-on-one situations over the years, and they have changed this, and they've started doing what they feel like they should do, and get in harmony with their love compass, their conscience, and decide, you know what, even if it's extra work, even if it's harder work, I'm going to start living the way I feel like I should live, okay? And I don't have anything to lose. I might as well try it and see what happens, okay? Well, inevitably, those people 6 months to a year later are night and day happier, healthier, and more successful. So get out the healing codes, the relationship codes, the success codes, the master key, and start working on the areas where you are not doing what you feel you should be doing. Okay? It's not so much what you do as how you feel about what you do. Those things where you don't feel good about what you're doing, start working on those with the tools and in prayer, and have as your intention that starting now or January 1st or whatever it is, as best as I can, and you'll never do it perfectly, I'm going to start living the way I feel and believe I should be living. And I believe if you do that, really follow through and do it, and we're here to help you do it, that by July or this time next year, you're going to be in a very, very, very different place. You are metaphorically going to be singing and humming while cleaning the toilet. And you're going to see everything in your life start to get better and better.
All right. So that was a great a great lecture from Dr. Lloyd, and you can always listen to it again. They're archived, and you can access that on the iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. That will be up there again. So we're going to switch gears for any of you who would like to receive a custom code or a custom trilogy. All you need to do is raise your hand, star 2. That's going to raise your hand. I'll be able to unmute your line, and we'll be able to get that for you. So star 2. First caller is a web caller, and your line is open.
Is it me in Iowa?
That's you. Is it?
All right.
Yeah.
You didn't name who it was. You said web call, and I went,
Yeah, I'm not sure. Are you Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, it's you.
All right. We're getting to meet this way often. I have a trilogy from a week ago that I'm working on that is regarding a health issue and how I feel about it. But as the week has gone on, I've found that the talk today from Alex was really helpful. I'm finding that I'm ruminating more on some on my own issue, but more on what other people will think about my decisions regarding what testing to do and when to do it. And I know that they will all be having their opinions because of their own care for me, but their own fears as well. It's difficult when you're trying to do things more natural, and that's not the way of the world yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so to step out there, even though everybody around you thinks stepping out there is risky. So I'm conflicted. I'm having a hard time because I'm trying to deal with my own decisions based on last week's trilogy for how I'm dealing with this, and finding that I'm really concerned about what other people are going to think when they find out, or when I tell them what's going on.
Okay, well, let's look at that. Sharon, have you ever had this kind of a fear about what other people are going to think about your decisions?
Oh, yeah.
Has there ever been? Okay, so think about one memory that stands out. And what is that negative feeling in that memory besides the fear? Or how strong is that fear?
And not as strong as this one. This current one's really pretty strong. I suppose the furthest back I can think for fear of what people would think was when we decided to homeschool, and our kids are now 28, 30, and 32. So we did that, but if there was fear of, because it was a long time ago when nobody was doing it. And that's where I feel, I guess you're right, that's where I feel about this medical issue. Not very many people are doing things naturally or delaying testing and that kind of thing, or doing different types of testing than traditional. Same back then, nobody was doing homeschooling much yet when we started, and there was a lot of fear about how people would take us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been an 8 back then, and this is a 10 right now.
Okay. So we're going to address that. We want to heal the early memories, too, of any time when you have been more afraid of what people would think of you because of your decisions. We want to heal anything along those lines so that you could have more clarity and more confidence because, yeah, we're never going to please all of the people all the time. But when it comes to these kind of decisions, it really is important for us to have a peace about it, you know,
well, and I think with this one, if I'm wrong, then it might go badly. Or it could go bad. If I am wrong, it could go badly for me and make me and for my loved ones. And if I'm right, I will feel like I did the right thing because it's really what I really want to do. But I still keep waffling a little bit, small percentage of, should I just do this the regular way?
Okay, so let's address that fear that's keeping you from having confidence to move forward no matter what the end result is, okay? No matter what the end result is, you want to have that peace to move forward. So that's what we can address. Now, did you want a trilogy for this?
Yes, that's my favorite. You already figured me out.
Okay. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear issue.
This fear issue.
Okay, very good. Okay, minute number one, acupoints and meridians. You're going to tap from the eyebrows all the way down to the side of the hands. And then you're going to go back to the chin, under the eyes, collarbone, middle of the chest, up to the side of the eyes, and then the eyebrows, then the thumb and the little finger, under the arms, and then the 9G.
Okay.
Minute number two, healing code. Three positions. Both hands, Adam's apple. That's healing codes one. Left hand below the belly button. Right hand on the high bridge. That's healing codes two. Then both hands below the belly button. Three positions.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three. Governing conception and chakras. We're going to start at the root and trace the hands all the way up and over to the top of the spine without stopping three times.
Okay.
Then you're going to go to the solar plexus. Start there. You're going to hold there. Then slowly slide up to the heart and hold. Slide up to the forehead and hold. Slide up to the crown and hold. Then over to the top of the spine.
Okay.
And then again, we're going to go to the base and move slowly up, pausing at each center for a few seconds. Go all the way up and over. And that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sharon.
All right. I know.
Okay. Our next caller is, your number ends in 3572, 3572, and your line is open.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. What would you like to address?
I would like a custom trilogy for Kara, please. And the feelings are like uncertainty, anxiety, fear.
Okay, anxiety, fear, and this is for, I'm
for
sorry,
Kara.
You said for Kara. Kara, is that your friend, daughter?
Yeah.
Daughter, okay. Can you say for me, I am testing for Kara.
I am testing for Kara.
I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear issue.
This fear issue.
Okay, very good. Okay, minute number one. You're going to start at the eyebrows and tap all the way down to the side of the hand. Then you're going to return to the eyebrows. Then under the nose and the chin. Then little finger, side of the hand, collarbones, sore spots, side of the eyes, under the eyes, and then the 9G.
Okay.
Minute number two, healing codes. Left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge. Both hands, Adam's apple. Left hand high bridge, right hand brainstem. And the last one is both hands below the belly button.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three. You're going to start at the base, and you're going to move slowly, slowly up, pausing at each center for 4 or 5 seconds. Okay, then you're going to go to the heart, and you're going to go all the way up and over to the top of the spine. Then go to the heart, pause, slide down to the solar plexus, pause, slide down to below the belly button, pause, slide down to the base, pause, and then you're going to go all the way up and over without stopping, and that's it.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. God bless you.
I bless you.
All right. So we still have some time. If there's anyone else that would like a custom code, you can press star 2 on your phone. Okay, this caller is, your number ends in 1799. 1799, your line is open.
Hi, this is Sheen from Chicago. I got a custom trilogy code like about 3 weeks ago for a kind of a childhood trauma. And as I was doing it, I feel like a lot of past emotions kind of were coming up that I thought, you know, I kind of forgot already. One of them is right now it's kind of a major issue that kind of brought up a lot of pain. It was something that happened during college. And initially I couldn't find any connections between this event and what I was trying to heal. But the past few days I've been thinking about it. I feel like there could be just a overall from birth till then a kind of a pain. Because the event alone, I couldn't figure out any feelings other than just feeling the pain to the point of 9 or 10. You know, that was 20-some years ago. And but I thought about, you know, because I didn't move in, live with my parents until I was at age 12. And my mom just said I cried a lot when I was little. And I just thought that could be just a pain over a separation and fear of aloneness. Even though when I was adult in college, this event, it was my decision not to move forward with this relationship that I really cared for. And when I was young, I didn't have a choice. And I don't remember what I was feeling. I'm just assuming, you know, as a little child, not being with her parents, especially my mom, I think there must have been a lot of pain, a fear of being alone. So I don't know if I'm just stretching it.
No,
but
I don't
figure
think so.
Out why. Yeah, I couldn't figure out why I still feel so much pain, you know, over this relationship, which, you know, it's not like I want to do anything about it, but I'm like, why do I feel so much pain over this? And that was after I did the, you know, the code you gave me 3
mm-hmm.
weeks ago. So
okay.
I'm just throwing out my thoughts. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, this is good. And this is what often happens when we start opening up that programming and start healing, then different events that you've totally forgotten come up because they are significant, because they have played a role in creating more pain in you know, what you're experiencing, or they're all connected, you know. So sometimes from our heart, just so we can have more evidence of a healing, you know. So let's address this whole thing. Any of the negative feelings, the fears, fear of being alone, fear of separation, no matter where it came from, even in vitro, even when your mother was pregnant with you, anything you might have inherited, we'll include all of that in this.
Mm. Okay.
Is this now, this is a trilogy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear issue.
This fear issue.
Okay, very good. Okay, minute number one. So we are tapping to remove any blocks so that as this code runs through your whole being, it will be, you know, not blocked by anything in particular, in any of the meridians or the acupoints, so we can access all the memories. Okay, so you can imagine that happening or whatever you like during the tapping. Okay, we're going to start with the eyebrows and go all the way down, all the way to the side of the hand.
When you say all the way, does that mean that I skip what's in between a regular first minute?
No, you tap all the regular
points.
Oh, tap
all
the
way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, eyebrows,
I'm sorry.
Temples, and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the points down and stop at the side of the hand.
Okay.
Including the side of the hand. Okay. Next, we're
going
to do customize. We're going to do under the arms, middle of the chest. Then eyebrows, under the eyes, under the nose, then collarbones. Then we'll go back to the side of the eyes, chin, sore spots, and then the 9G. Minute number two, left hand below the belly button, right hand touching the high bridge, second position, both hands Adam's apple, third position, both hands on the high bridge. Minute number three, you're going to start at the base and go all the way up and over 2 times without stopping. Then you're going to go to the solar plexus.
That's over past the neck, right?
Yes, over to the top of the spine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then you're going to start at the solar plexus and hold there for 4 or 5 seconds. Slide down to the base. Hold. Slide up to the heart. Hold. Slide up to the throat. Hold. Then slide up to the forehead, hold, crown, hold, and then over to the top of the spine. And that's it.
Great. Thank you so much. A quick question. Minute number two, the high bridge. It's not the bridge in Healing Code. It's in the Healing Code 2, the high bridge,
yes,
right?
The high bridge, yes. Okay. High bridge or prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I think that's going to be it for our callers today. I want to thank you all for participating, and we'll meet you again next week. God bless.